This is the Fantasy Road Show.
Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of the Fantasy Road Show. We are your boys here. My name is Truck, and I am joined, as always, by Shane O'Mac. Please like the video, subscribe to the channel. Podcast available on all platforms. Week 3 is in the books. Well, somewhat. We're recording this on Monday night at 6:40. The Buffalo game just kicked off. We're going to be watching that shortly, but we want to give a reaction to what happened on Sunday. All of the madness. Shane, how you doing, buddy?
Man, I am doing good. I don't know if it's officially the first day, but like where I'm at here in Kansas, it is fall, like temperatures like 60s right here for the highs. So it is nice.
100%. 100%. Yeah, it's nice. I was just telling you, there's kids outside my window here playing football. I was like, ah, it's so cool, man.
Yeah.
Wish I was younger playing tackle football with the buddies in the park, you know. But those days are long gone. But now we just watch football and get to react to it and tell you guys what we think about NFL week 3. Let's just start off. I was trying to find the exact stat, but the underdogs are just killing it right now. Like, I think underdogs of over 5.5 points are like 13-2 on the season against the spread. 13-2. They were 4-0 straight up yesterday. Like, it's this NFL is madness, and this is just further proof that you really have no idea what's going on. You just got to wait till kickoff and see how it unfolds. But what's your reaction to that? Like, underdogs are just showing out.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one that stood out to me the most was that Denver at Tampa Bay game. I mean, that was, I think, a 6.5 spread or 6. The one we talked about it Sunday morning, the one I couldn't get over was Seattle was only 4.5 at home against Skylar Thompson-led Dolphins.
Yeah, I hammered that one. I was like, dude, there's no way Skylar Thompson is going to keep this even remotely close. You know, Seattle's defense is really good. So we're going to get into each game in depth here. But underdogs are killing it right now. So, yeah. But we saw an uptick in passing in week 3, you know, as opposed to week 2 and week 1, but that's good to see. But we'll just jump right into it and start with the first game. All right, so the first game, we have the New England Patriots losing to the New York Jets on Thursday. I know this was a little while ago, but we didn't really talk about it. Patriots fall to 1-2, Jets improved to 2-1. We got to see vintage Rodgers a little bit and look kind of like the Jets showing their potential of what we wanted to see from them since Rodgers' first game last year that didn't really pan out well. But my main takeaway, Braylon Allen, 14 touches, Breece Hall, 20 touches. Braylon Allen's carving out a role in this offense, and I think I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he's legit piece of this offense, and he's going to be, you know, somewhat startable in some leagues. Like, I love his production. Shane, what'd you think?
Yeah, I think last 2 weeks we saw his rush attempts go up and his catches go up. So, yeah, he's carving out a little role. My takeaway from it, I agree, it is time. Allen's gone from a stash to a pickup, and you can have him possible as a flex play. My takeaway was, and I'm writing about him in this week's waiver wire, is it's time to probably pay attention to Allen Lazard. I mean, he's like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. It's not very exciting, but it gets the job done when you're in a pinch, you know?
Hey, sometimes they're damn good too. I mean, those PBJs. I actually picked up Lazard in a couple leagues last week. I saw him on the waiver wire. I'm like, dude, touchdown in week one, or I think 2 touchdowns in week one. Like, he's, you know, he has a rapport with Rodgers. So this, I don't think that's going anywhere. Lazard is a problem for Wilson owners. It's just what it is. So, definitely should be picking him up. I can't wait to see him on the article. But, that's really all I got for this game. Jets just, suffocate the Patriots.
Yep.
All right, moving on to the next game. We got the New York Giants beating the Cleveland Browns. Quite the upset. Giants improved to 1-2. Browns fall to 1-2. DJ, back-to-back top 10 weeks. I know Coles was over there, brushing the dirt off his shoulder because he's the one that was calling it. But yeah, DJ looks good through these 2 games, especially going into Cleveland and winning this game. This was a big statement piece for DJ. Neighbors is so much fun to watch. Just so much fun to watch. This guy is an absolute stud. What'd you see here?
Yeah, Neighbors, I think now after Sunday, I think he's wide receiver one on the year in fantasy, I believe I saw. And Jones, yeah, like you said, Jones is now, he's also making the waiver wire article for this week. You have to pay attention. I'm QB6 and I think a QB7 heading into Monday night finish. He's also like, the thing I didn't expect from him is he's getting some rushing stats. I think he's had at least 20 yards rushing each game. So he's giving you 2 to 3 points rushing, which we didn't expect. So yeah, he is a guy you could pick up off your waiver, especially in any deeper leagues.
Yeah, absolutely. And as far as the Browns go, Amari Cooper finally shows up, 2 TDs. Love to see that. I think we called it. It's tough because he's such a good route runner. Did you see that one route where he just like slowly walks off the line and then hits a stutter step and then crosses over into the end zone and catches it? Just so like smooth with his routes. Amari Cooper is such a good route runner. And then you just can't trust any Cleveland Browns running backs until Nick Chubb comes back. Mm-hmm. You just can't trust Ford. Foreman's just a thorn in your side. So big win for the Giants though. Big win for the Giants. All right, next game, we got the Green Bay Packers going into Tennessee, winning 30-14. Green Bay improves to 2-1. Tennessee falls to 0-3, one of the few teams that are 0-3. Malik Willis not only threw for 100 yards, he threw for 200 yards. 73 for a touchdown on the ground. Matt LaFleur is such a good coach for putting him in these positions to succeed. And it just goes to show you what a good organization can do with a quarterback like this. You know what I mean? Like, he had struggled so much in Tennessee. You go to Green Bay, you know, Green Bay and Tennessee, they're very different organizations. So it's crazy to see Malik Willis doing the things he's doing on Sundays.
Yeah. It's coaching matters. I think right now, like, there's two takeaways I had. One, I think I would be going and trying to buy low on Jaden Reed. He's, you know, obviously with Willison there, he hasn't had like the games he had in week one. So Jordan Love probably coming back this week. Go ahead and try to put out some offers for him. And then two, like, when we're talking about stash candidates, which I do each week in the waiver wire piece, like, Emmanuel Wilson has now promoted himself into that stash candidate list. He had a good game. He looked good.
Yeah, he did.
Passing and rushing the ball. So Josh Jacobs has had a pretty large amount of touches the last couple of weeks. So you never know how that's going to take effect on him later in the year.
Very good point. Yeah, Emmanuel looked really good. There was a touchdown there. I was like watching at the bar. I'm like, who the hell was that?
Yeah.
What is going on? Green Bay's defense just suffocated the Titans. Couldn't really do much. Still can't trust the Green Bay wide receivers without Love, in my opinion. No. We saw some good plays. You know, Malik Willis made some good throws, and Christian Watson had some good catches. Jaden Reed, you know, made some big plays. But fantasy starting wise, I can't have any of them in my starting lineup until Love's back. So that's my main takeaway there. All right, moving on. We got the Los Angeles Chargers losing to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Chargers lose 10-20. Chargers are 2-1, and Pittsburgh is 3-0. Pittsburgh and Justin Fields. If it wasn't obvious through 2 weeks, like, Justin Fields was not the problem in Chicago. Like, he just goes to Pittsburgh, and they're probably going to go 4-0. You know what I mean? They're just winning these games. I'm curious to see what's going to happen when they hit that tough part of their schedule later on in the year and see how they really perform then, because that's when it's really going to be turned on for them. So. Justin Herbert re-aggravated his ankle. Did you hear any news about that?
Yeah, just a re-aggravation of the high ankle sprain. And I don't know. If I was to guess now early in the week, I would say maybe he's not playing in that Kansas City game this week.
I would guess not, personally. So we'll see. We'll get some more reports on that. Quentin Johnston with another touchdown.
Yeah.
Is he wide receiver one?
Completely blown coverage. Not for me. I would still take McConkey. I think that was just a fluke touchdown play. I think McConkey's the guy I would bet on for the rest of the season.
Yeah, more of a safer bet there. J.K. Dobbins dominating the touches now. We saw through the first 2 weeks, Dobbins had the production, but Gus still had more carries than Dobbins. Not this game. JK had, I think, 13 or I can't remember exactly the number, but he dominated the touching in the running back room. And Najee Harris has been seen wearing a sling on his right elbow. He did finish the game. He carried the ball in the last play of the game, but something to monitor with Najee wearing a sling. Did you see that?
I did. And then also Jalen Warren is getting an MRI on his knee tomorrow. So
that's right. That's
both right. Guys, watch out. The main takeaway for me is, I mean, it's Cordell Patterson season, right? Let's just pick up Cordell Patterson wherever and start him as our running back over whoever.
I will say, though, I think Najee will end up playing. That's just my educated guess. I think he's going to end up playing, and they got a good matchup next week. So, all right, moving on. We got the Minnesota Vikings. I don't know how they keep doing this, but they won at home. They beat the Houston Texans. Last week, they beat the 49ers. This week, they beat the Texans. They won 34-7.
Yeah.
Not barely, but 34-7. Vikings are 3-0. Houston's 2-1. The Vikings look legit, man. It's tough to argue that fact after beating 49ers and then Texans, two Super Bowl contenders back-to-back weeks. Huge game for Aaron Jones. I didn't expect this. I think I had him on my red light list, or we'll talk about that at the next red light relight episode. But Darnold throwing four touchdowns. Jalen Naylor, touchdown in every week so far. He almost had two. He had one called back this week. So Jalen Naylor, is he going to be on your waiver wire list?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Like three straight scores in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah,
basically played almost the same amount of snaps as Jefferson did. So there's a good chance that Addison misses another week. So he's definitely the guy to go grab this week off the waiver wire.
Yeah. And then Tank Dell kind of seems like the odd man out. Like it just, you know, it's kind of pointing in that direction for me. We saw Diggs have a big game. He led the team in receiving, and, you know, he's just kind of been that go-to guy for CJ, which this is kind of what we expected, at least we on the road show expected going into the year. You know, Nico has the big playability, but Stephon Diggs is going to get open, and he's going to get open a lot. So, you know, he's going to get him the ball. Sucks to see Tank Dell. I haven't really had one of those games where he was number one yet, but I'm sure it's coming.
Yeah,
Akers got the touchdown, but otherwise pretty quiet. So
yeah, I would still, if you picked him up, hold on to him. Like, I don't know if it's for sure Mixon's back next week. There's some various reports out there saying maybe he misses another week. Just the game script didn't allow for them to run the ball, and that's not going to be the case this week when he's taking on the Jaguars.
Yeah, definitely. All right, moving on. We got the Philadelphia Eagles going on the road to one of the better teams in football through 2 weeks, the New Orleans Saints. They beat them in an ugly game, 15-12. Philly is now 2-1. The Saints are 2-1. Saints got knocked down a peg. They got brought back down to earth from Philly. And that first half was just like all defense. Mm-hmm. It was just, I think it was like 3-0 at halftime, which I was not expecting that. I was expecting kind of a blowout, but it goes to show what I know. Goose egg for Rashid Shaheed after people started to trust him. That's tough to see. I know he dropped a couple where it was just kind of like, oh man. Saquon Barkley, is he running back one? I know he's the running back one scoring wise, but is he your running back one for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I think I just texted, there's a group text of mine in one of our leagues, and we just texted this today. We had a consensus that we think actually he would be the 101 pick if we were doing a fresh fantasy draft today.
Ooh, what an idea, doing a fresh fantasy draft.
Yeah.
Saquon Barkley. I mean, it's hard to argue that. And the guy looks absolutely unbelievable. A couple touchdowns, you know, here and there, and it's so explosive. Like, to people that called him washed, I just never understood that. Like, we were in on Saquon. He's a huge part of our underdog portfolio, which I couldn't be more happy about. But how about Dallas Goedert? 10 catches, 170 yards. He absolutely torched the Saints.
Yep. Yeah, that was once I saw Kittle was ruled out, Goedert was my green light tight end of the week. Just with no A.J. Brown in there, you know, he's going to soak up targets. So.
Yeah, never thought it would be 170 yards worth of targets,
though. No, so. You know, the huge busted play, I mean, that was a big contributor. But, yeah, the catches and the targets were great to see.
Yeah, and then Devontae Smith had a rough tackle. He is diagnosed with a concussion. So there's a chance that they don't have AJ Brown or Devonta Smith.
No, I don't think they will. I really don't.
So, yeah, Dallas Goedert, probably a good play next week too. And maybe Jahan Dotson. We'll see, right?
Johnny Wilson, maybe. I don't know.
There's a lot of just random names in the mix over there. So it's kind of like the Rams thing, you know, just throw a dart and see what sticks, you know? All right, moving on. We got the Denver Broncos, the one that you were talking about, the upset of the week for sure. Mm-hmm. Denver Broncos going into Tampa Bay, winning 26-7. Denver gets their first win. They're 1-2. Tampa loses their first game. They're 2-1. Better game for Bo Nix. Definitely intriguing to see from Bo. Although it was very, you know, Denver's defense was really the prime piece of this game for sure. But what'd you see there from Denver?
So a couple things concern me. Like if I'm a Javonte Williams owner, I'm highly concerned. You know, Jaleel got the 4th-and-1 carry at the goal line and he converted. Then we saw like Tyler Beatty getting rushes late in the third quarter and fourth quarter of that game. I'd be concerned with Williams. Like this is going to be just a more mucked up running back situation, even more than we thought.
Yeah. Even Chase or Jaleel McLaughlin, Javonte, like it's just the Broncos. I know they got to win, but they're not a good offense. Yeah. So having a running back in a timeshare in a bad offense, you're just like multiplying all these things to go against yourself. So, yeah, that's tough. How about Bucky Irving? Coach is coming out saying that he deserves more touches. So exactly what we were talking about last week. Bucky Irving is carving out a role, just like Braylon Allen. I think he's here to stay. So a little worried as a Rashad White owner, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. He got all of the second half carries in that game against the Broncos. So, yeah. And he's just like every week he is just – demolished White as far as productions and yards.
But he just, well, it's the eye test. He looks better. He looks like the better runner running back right now. So, you get that fresh juice in there and it's good to see. Surprise, surprise. Mike Evans gets shut down by Patrick Surtain. You know, this is why we told you not to start him last week. I had him on my bench. I'm happy about that. Finally made a good decision with my lineups. And, Evans gets shut down. Godwin does Godwin things. So good to see. But, yeah, tough loss for Tampa. Tough loss. And the books, sports books, probably made a killing on that game. An absolute killing. All right, moving on. We have the my Chicago Bears losing in Indianapolis 21-16. Mm-hmm. Bears fall to 1-2. So do the Colts. They're both 1-2. Here's the thing. Caleb is showing progress, but he's still making mistakes. Okay. He's showing me on glimpses where it's like, okay, this is Caleb right here. Like that roll out of the pocket hits him down the field. It looks good. But, overall, just couldn't get the win. You know, the interceptions were bad to see, but Anthony Richardson was struggling with interceptions too. What was intriguing for me is Caleb 363 yards passing. At the time, that was the most by any quarterback in a single game this year, surpassed by Dak Prescott, who had 370 yards this past week. But it's, you know, the Bears can't run the ball for shit.
Oh, okay? My God. So bad.
They can't run the ball for shit. And it's the coaching and the play calling for me. Shane Waldron, you got some answers. We need some answers because this is just terrible. How do you get to the 4th-and-goal? And you run a fucking read option. We don't run the read option. And did you see the picture, Shane? I don't know if I sent it to you, but we took a screenshot of midway through that play. Every offensive lineman is just sitting on the ground.
Oh yeah, I did see that.
They're just sitting on the ground.
Yeah, they're back sitting down. Yeah,
it's a joke. It's an absolute joke. There's no answer for that. But we need to call better plays. We need to put our players in better positions. And that's coaching and that's the coordinator. So I liked from what I saw from the Bears, defense played really well and Caleb played better, getting a lot of people involved. Rome Odunze catching his first touchdown. He had a huge game with a couple of really big plays. Cole Kmet had like 11 targets. Without Keenan Allen, he's trying to get other people involved. Cole Kmet, thank God that you're there because, you know, early on we're like, hey, is Cole Kmet even going to be a thing with Gerald Everett? But he was. Good to see. But, yeah, bad coaching and bad play calling.
Yeah, I think if Keenan Allen is out again this next week, like Kmet is definitely a tight end one play you can make in your lineup. So,
yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And then, Jonathan Taylor is an absolute beast. Just Bears run defense is not what it was at the end of the year last year, and that needs to be known. We're just getting torched week after week, and Jonathan Taylor put it on full display this week.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that's enough of that game. Just rough, man. I tell you what, I said the Bears need to win, get this win, and they couldn't get a win. So next week going against the Rams, they need to get the win. All right, they just it, at home against the Rams. We'll talk about that in another episode. But anyway, how about another upset? Carolina Panthers and the Red Rifle. I want to acknowledge Shane posting a Twitter poll, and it was a unanimous. On Sunday
Live. Was it? I haven't checked it. Okay.
It wasn't unanimous. There was a couple Red Rockets. But, okay. On our live stream on Sunday, we took a poll, and a few people chimed in saying the Red Rocket. They were agreeing with me because I said Red Rocket. Shane says Red Rifle. And Twitter disagrees. It's Red Rifle. So I will be calling them Red Rifle from now on and not Red Rocket. You win that one, Shane. He puts on a full display over here, and this is bad for Bryce Young. Like, how bad is it for Bryce?
Oh, awful. Completely awful.
They scored 36 points. Deontay Johnson, 14 targets, just a massive game with a touchdown. Chuba Hubbard looked like, Chuba Hubbard of last year in certain games. Like, it's just, this is not looking good for Bryce.
Well, you know what Chuba Hubbard was.
Oh, he was your shocker of the week. Absolutely. Hang your hat on that one, man, because that was a great call. And, like, I should have seen it coming. I should have seen all this coming. I included the Carolina money line. It was, like, plus 225. Mm-hmm. That seemed like a lock to me just because, you know, Andy Dalton's coming in, and we've seen what he does. But anyway, the Raiders coach said it's possible quarterback change. Might be getting rid of Minshew, bringing in Aiden O'Connell. We saw from Davante Adams was clearly upset on the sideline at halftime.
Yeah.
Just visibly, just like, what are we doing? Everybody, if you have Zamir White, drop him. Drop him, put him on the waiver wire. The guy is absolute trash. I can't believe I ever drafted him in any league. I think I drafted him in one, and even then, I'm just like, I this is terrible.
I mean, I think Amir Abdullah is getting more snaps now than Zamir White.
Yeah, give Zamir a couple touches a game, but then give everything to Alexander Mattison. Mattison sucks, and he's playing better than Zamir White. So, it's just crazy. Down game from Brock Bowers and Davante Adams. If I told you the two top receivers from that game for the Raiders were Trey Tucker and Jacoby Myers, would you think I'm lying?
Yeah, that's great. The Trey Tucker.
Yeah, I mean, good to see them get involved, but I was really hoping for another good game from Brock and Devontae, but we'll see what happens when Aiden O'Connell comes in. Could change things up with the targets. You never know.
Yeah.
Moving on, we got the Miami Dolphins and the Seattle Seahawks. We talked a little bit about this. Seahawks just put a whooping on them at home, 24-3. Seahawks are now 3-0.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens later on in the season, but 3-0 is a great start for the Seahawks. Miami's 1-2. Miami needs to make calls around the NFL. They need to start calling teams. They need to start getting ready to bring in another quarterback because Skylar Thompson ain't it. No. All right. And if you're not careful in the next 4 weeks, you lose the next four games. You're going to be 1-5, 1-6. Your season's done. Like, what are we even bringing Tua back for like that? So they got to figure something out because you can't play anyone on the team until then. Yeah. Like Devon Achane, I thought you could play him. Tyreek Hill, maybe you could play him, but there's just not enough. You know what I mean? Tyreek will get you like 7-8 points as a floor. You know what I mean? He'll get you the 4 for 40, but it's just, you can't play anyone, right?
No. Yeah. Their receivers are, they're pretty much untouchable now, especially how Tim Boyle probably starting this week.
Yeah. And then another top 10 week from Zach Charbonnet. We called it early on in a couple of weeks ago where, hey, this is your chance. And he comes out and has another big game. I think he had a couple touchdowns this week. Just great to see from Charbonnet, but next week is a tough matchup, and maybe do we have any word on Kenneth Walker? Is he coming back next week? I feel like he might be.
He could be. I think initially they were saying two games, so this could be the game he's back, but we'll just have to wait and see.
All right. And then Jaxon Smith-Njigba came down back down to earth. That was yeah, I know you called it. You said you never really know which way the season the game's gonna go. One week it's gonna be a lot of Tyler Lockett. And then the next week it's gonna be a lot of JSN. So I'm just looking for JSN to stay get some consistency, right? And just be an active part of this offense. But what'd you see there?
Yeah, I think this was the most easily predictable game of the week. Like it was going to be, they weren't going to have to throw the ball a lot. And really, honestly, as like a DK Metcalf owner, like we were lucky that we got the long touchdown pass.
Oh, yeah.
They were just running the ball the whole second half. I think this next week's going to be a different story. I'd fire back up JSN. Like you've got they're going to Detroit. Last year, it was like a 38-31 game. Where Geno threw for like 360 and two touchdowns. And so this should be back to it. Geno Smith quietly has been a QB7 or better in two of his first three games. Like that's got to be one of the more quieter, like top QB performances.
Yeah, no one's talking about it. No one's even mentioned it, but I'm glad we are.
Yeah.
All right, glad we are. All right, so moving on, we got the Baltimore Ravens and your Dallas Cowboys in Dallas. Baltimore wins 28-25 in a close game. They're both now 1-2. King Henry finally gets used in the right way, 151 yards and two touchdowns. That's great to see. Just waiting for those games from him because that's what we expected week in and week out in Baltimore. So hard to trust any Ravens wide receivers or tight ends. Mark Andrews, goose egg. I think he had one target. He didn't run many routes. Zay Flowers, not really much going on. Like, it's just this Ravens passing game. We thought with Monken coming in that it would be a little different and they would be more high-powered last year. But, it's not really panning out that way in Baltimore.
Yeah, I mentioned it on our Sunday show. Dallas was going to be without two of their defensive tackles. They are just horrible. Here is the stat that will blow your mind. And if you played any form of football, you'll understand this and just be amazed by it. In that game, Derrick Henry was getting 3.9 yards per carry before any contact. Before any contact. Basically, you're picking up 4 yards before contact.
You don't want Henry getting 4 yards before contact that's him running downfield. So yes. That explains why he got 151 and 2.
Oh, my gosh. It was brutal.
And then you got to know you can throw on this Baltimore defense. Yes. Their run defense is really, really good, but you can throw on them. Dak Prescott, we talked about 379 yards, most in a single game so far this season by any quarterback. How about Jake Ferguson? 11 targets, 6 for 95. I know it was mostly all second half, but he looked really good. And then Turpin and Tolbert, they are playmakers in my book. You get them involved, and you got a good game going on for the Cowboys.
Yeah, and that was Ferguson putting up that line first week off of a knee sprain. So,
I wasn't expecting that at all. No. All right, moving on. We got the Detroit Lions going into Arizona, winning 20-13. Detroit's now 2-1. Arizona's 1-2. David Montgomery is just looking like a weekly safe play. 23 carries, 105 yards, one touchdown. How about that Jameer Gibbs, hook and ladder touchdown. You're looking at the stat sheet and you see the Lions passing and you see, or their receiving lines, you see Jameer Gibbs, 0 receptions, 20 yards and a touchdown. How does that happen?
Yep.
Hook and ladder play. He gets a lateral and goes 20 yards and scores a touchdown. Great to see. And I tell you what, I swear to God, I really hope Ben Johnson comes to Chicago next year. Dream scenario. If that happens, I think the Bears will be in a good spot next year.
Yeah.
And we don't have to worry about this terrible play calling because, man, that guy's good. Mm-hmm. That guy's good.
Yep.
Dud from Jameson Williams, didn't expect that. Really, really like what he's been able to do through the first 2 weeks, but hasn't really panned out. Sam Laporta got hurt.
Yeah.
What
Low
happened?
Ankle. Low ankle sprain. Yeah.
Okay. That's what it was.
Yeah, so there's a chance he could play this week, but I would get with it being a low versus a high, it's not an automatic rule out scenario.
Yeah, yeah. Trey McBride, is he in trouble?
Yeah, so he'll be going through the concussion protocol this week. So my guess is I would lean towards he's probably misses this first. He misses one game. Usually you do not see them. When they go through the protocol, play immediately the next week.
Yeah, absolutely. Defenses, or I'm sorry, Detroit's defense, their run defense is top tier.
Yeah, wow.
They absolutely shut down James Conner. And Marvin Harrison still has a good game. Is he kind of getting outshined by Malik Nabers? I know Coles is probably tipping his hat to this because since day one, Coles was saying Nabers is better than Harrison. And it's looking that way right now, even with the both having the opportunity somewhat similar in their each other's offenses. But, man, Nabers is just kind of outshining Marvin Harrison right now.
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody on the Giants that is close to the quality of Trey McBride as another receiving target. So that hurts Harrison. I did like seeing, I think it was 10 or 11 targets he still got in that game.
Yeah.
An unusual amount of targets that Michael Wilson got. He was catching a lot in that game, which I
He looks he looks good too, even through the beginning of the season. I like Michael Wilson. So yep. All right, so moving on. We got the San Francisco 49ers losing in Los Angeles to the Rams. 49ers are 1-2. They lose back-to-back weeks. Not normal for the 49ers. You don't normally see it, but Rams win a close one. They're now 1-2. Story of the game is Juwan Jennings' career day. Who saw this coming? All right, we all thought it was going to be Ayuk. Juwan Jennings, 11 for 175 and 3 touchdowns. He was just all over the field. He knew this was his opportunity without Debo, without Christian McCaffrey, without Kittle to go out there and show, hey, I was active in the Super Bowl last year. I made some big plays. Wow. Juwan Jennings. Wow. Yeah.
And nothing. I mean, we didn't get it. This was supposed to be the blow up game for Brandon Ayuk that we were supposed to get. I think everybody was thinking that.
Absolutely. But it goes to show, even when you're least expecting something, it's bound to happen in the NFL. So
yeah.
Brock Purdy looks really good, 292 yards and 3 touchdowns. Turns out Kyren Williams is the main benefactor without Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. Like 3 touchdowns, 26 touches total, just a massive game for Kyren Williams. And if you're wondering which wide receiver that you want to start from, DeMarcus Robinson, Tyler Johnson, or Jordan Whittingham, it's actually Tutu Atwell. So, I think that'll change next week. I don't think you can really say one is going to outproduce the other on a weekly basis. But, if you're hurting, start one of them. We'll see what happens. But against Chicago, it's next week might be tough sledding for.
I'd probably avoid. The only thing, if you've got Robinson, you can hang your hat on is he did have the most snaps and routes run of all four of the wide receivers, I guess, if we're counting Jordan Whittingham.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, moving on. We got the last game, Sunday night football game, Kansas City Chiefs win in Atlanta 22-17. I thought Atlanta was going to come back at the end there, another late game drive to score and win. But, Mahomes seems like he's thrown a lot of picks lately.
Yeah.
You feel that?
Yeah, he's not looked great.
Yeah, and I saw a stat on Twitter. Shout out to Jason Moore of the Fantasy Footballers. He was breaking down some metrics on Patrick Mahomes. Over the last 17 games, he has scored over 20 fantasy points in a 4-point touchdown league, over 20 fantasy points in just 17% of his games in the last 17 games.
Mm-hmm.
So he's making the claim that he's no longer a must-start quarterback, that he's a streamable quarterback. What world are we living in? This is just absolute madness, man. Mahomes just, we thought getting these wide receivers, I know Hollywood Brown should have been in there this season, and they probably would be doing better, passing-wise, but Mahomes just not looking like Mahomes. I know they're still winning games with 3-0, but fantasy-wise,
no,
the massive 35-point games. Those are just, I guess they don't need it, right? They don't need him.
Well, I thought we would see more of it Sunday night. Like, no Pacheco. I thought, okay, this is going to be more of a passing game, more of a Mahomes game. I really thought, Xavier Worthy was going to get teed up for a couple long, big plays. And, we're not seeing it. He is, no big 300-yard passing games even.
Yeah. Yeah. Steele was the guy. We talked about it. 17 carries. It just, in my opinion, he didn't seal the job. He didn't do enough with those 17 carries to be like, all right, he's our guy now without Pacheco. I think it's still room for Hunt and Samaje to carve out a bigger role than what we saw from Steele. You agree?
Yeah, I would still pick up Hunt if he's out there on a waiver wire. If you've got a somebody on the end of your bench you can drop, because while he got the carries, yeah, he was nothing exciting. I think they know that. I think that's why they brought back Hunt.
Yes, I completely agree. Completely agree. Rashee Rice goes nuclear. 14 targets, 12 receptions, 110 yards and a touchdown, just all over the field. And it makes sense because Xavier Worthy wasn't. Like, he just, you know, and then Travis Kelce, man. I don't know if you saw him on the sidelines some of these plays. Like, he looks done. Yeah. He looks like he is so tired of this. He lives this lavish lifestyle with Taylor Swift now, where it's, you know, I think I don't know. I feel like this might be his last year.
Yeah, definitely. I think, what would you, is it too bold to say Rashee Rice rest of the season top five fantasy receiver?
No, not too bold. No. I mean, you're on the Chiefs. You go 14 targets, 12 receptions, 110 yards and a touchdown. Rashee Rice is a top five receiver rest of the season.
Yeah. If you could, I would flip Tyreek Hill for Rashee Rice right now.
Yeah, for sure. I would do that. I don't know if I'm the Rashee Rice owner, I don't think I would take Tyreek.
Yeah.
Right now, personally. But no, you're absolutely right. That's something that you should be considering. Rashee Rice has definitely climbed up the ranks, and you drafted him in what, like the sixth, seventh round? He was going so low in drafts. I know the league I drafted him in one of my leagues, my team is just rock stars, a bunch of really good players. Bijan Robinson couldn't really get much going, but he did finally score. How about Darnell Mooney? Darnell Mooney, 8 for 66. He looked really good. He's all over the field. Like, this is a really good wide receiver now in a system with Kirk Cousins. You know, he's utilizing the right way. So, you know, Mooney is someone to keep an eye on. Is he on your waiver wire list?
Yes, he do. Little known fact, I was doing some research for that today, he actually leads the Falcons in receiving yards. I mean,
crazy.
It's crazy to me. Like, when you had Pitts and you got Drake London, who people were drafting at the 1-2 turn, it's me. Darnell
Mooney.
I was doing that.
I was drafting at the 1-2 turn. Yeah. Hey, London still scored. London still looks good. But you're right. He's not getting that elite, like, you know, those 14 targets that we see from Rashee Rice, from Malik Nabers. You know, I was expecting those games.
Yep.
But he's not getting those. And maybe it'll get better as the season goes. But Darnell Mooney is a legit part of this offense, and he's not going anywhere. So he deserves to be picked up. All right. Well, I think that about does it.
Yep.
Thank you for joining us again on this reaction for week 3. We're going to get out of here and watch the rest of this Monday Night Football game and the doubleheader. It's great. How do you feel about the doubleheaders on Monday?
I like it. I on Sundays, I'm like, oh, I don't like it, because it's like one less game I have to watch. But then when Monday night comes along, I'm like, okay, I'm good.
I like it because, you know, we see some of these on these primetime games where it's a blowout or it's not a great game. So you have the option to switch and watch a different game. I mean, if you're a baller, you're watching both at the same time. But if you're just watching the one, I like the option to switch.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, anyway, thanks for joining. Be on the lookout for the red light, green light this week. Got a lot of great stuff. Make sure you follow the Substack, thefantasyroadshow.substack.com. Please like the video, subscribe to the channel, and above all, buckle up.